Hi, everyone. It's Mary Lou Tyler. And today's guest is the most read LinkedIn author on B2B selling on the planet. Okay, it's like global. This guy, Tony Hughes, is an amazing guy. I'm sure most of you have read and followed his posts. I try to comment on his thought-provoking, kind of sometimes rib-poking posts on LinkedIn, and it's amazing the amount of conversation that just flows around you, Tony. It's wonderful to have you on the podcast today. The other thing I want to tell you guys is there's a book coming out by Tony called Combo Prospecting by Amacom New York, and it's coming out in January 2018. So yet another book on prospecting that we all need to have in our arsenal, especially for today's conversation. We're going to talk about some of the myths around prospecting and also lead generation. And Tony has some really great views that I'd like you to just sit back, listen, and we're going to ask you to take one or two of his wonderful tips and put them into action as soon as you hang up the phone with us today. Welcome, Tony.
Hey, Mary Lou. It's so great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
I love the fact that we can talk. I'm in Iowa. You're in Sydney, Australia. And here we are through the wonders of the internet having a conversation about prospecting. So my first question to you is, besides the fact that you are the most read B2B selling person on LinkedIn on the planet, based on that, what are the questions relating to prospecting? What's like the topmost thing that you hear from readers as challenges they have with prospecting?
Well, Mary Lou, the thing that's really interesting for me is because I blog a lot, it's a great place to really test what topics resonate with people. And I actually ask a lot of questions of my audience as well to get a sense of what really concerns people. And whether it's online with my blogging or whether it's with me working in the real world with clients, because I'm very active with organizations out there in B2B sales, The number one problem that people tell me that they have is that they just don't have enough sales pipeline. And the thing I find really interesting about that is that the first thing is that that's just plainly not true. If people don't have enough sales pipeline, that's not the problem. That's the symptom of other real things that are causing it, which we'll maybe talk about. But they all think that they can close. They think they know how to build rapport and build relationships and do discovery. They all think they know how to sell, but it's just that they don't have enough pipe. And yet the reality is, if you go back to root cause, the thing I really believe is that there's three things that fundamentally cause the issue of not having enough pipeline. And first is the wrong mindset. And we can maybe explore these a little bit, but it's the wrong mindset. A lot of salespeople have just abdicated responsibility for creating their own pipe. And I even see people out there saying that salespeople shouldn't be doing prospecting and creating pipe. They should just focus on selling. So we maybe explore that. So the first thing is the wrong mindset. The next thing I see is people have the wrong narrative. People are having the wrong kinds of conversations with people. One of the problems in sales is that we get delegated down to who it sounds like we deserve to be talking to. So they need to really change the conversation if they want to elevate the way that they're selling. And then the third thing is that people are executing the wrong activities. So mindset, narrative, and the types of activities and the volume of activities are the three things that really cause the problem, typically, in my mind. And I think, it's really yourself with your excellent book, Predictable Prospecting. I've downloaded the book. I've started reading it and really enjoying it. And I love your approach to treating predictable prospecting really as a process. And it's a really topical issue. It's the number one thing that people think that they need to resolve.
It's interesting you say that. The three items or the three areas that we're going to talk about today are the mindset, the narrative, and activities. Now, the other thing you mentioned very briefly is this concept of separation of roles and the fact that there's a lot of discussion today around, should salespeople prospect, close, service? Should they just do the selling and closing part? And I view this as it's compartmentalized. I think, me as a solo practitioner, I prospect, I close, I service. And I am not going to grow my team. I like to service my accounts by myself. So that's really how I work. You know, I think in the larger organizations, and if you're doing higher volume transactions, there are some ideas around separation of roles that really work. And it's more about the fact that some salespeople are better at opening doors and some salespeople are better at closing doors. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't learn these tricks to the trade and these actual ways of opening those doors, because you never know when you're going to be put in a situation where you're on the hook to generate revenue yourself. So I like the separation of role concept, but it doesn't apply to everybody. I think that was one of the disservices of predictable revenue, the book that we wrote in 2011, is that there was almost a mandate that you must separate the roles. As soon as you can, separate those roles so that you have business developers, then you have closers, and then you have people who service accounts. So let's talk about this root cause, you know, not enough pipeline. You said you hear that over and over again. If I'm sitting here as listening to this podcast and that resonated with me, how do I figure out the root cause of it by myself? You know, if I'm really trying to figure this out, that it's really not pipeline, it may be one of those three, lead us through how we would self-diagnose ourselves to figure out where we are lacking or where the gap is.
Yeah, and I really love the comments you just made. You really bang on the money, and I loved predictable revenue, obviously, based on Salesforce back around the 2000 mark, right? So, you know, the idea of getting people to specialize in roles is absolutely valid. But the whole problem is that regardless of how good marketing is at creating, you know, MQLs, marketing qualified leads, that maybe go to an inside sales function that turns them into sales qualified, and if you've got inside salespeople that are doing outbound, you know, so they're you know, using a blended approach, obviously, but getting on the phone and trying to make appointments, well, the field salespeople, all of that's valid. But I really agree with you. Here's the main problem. Although those models work, no amount of that activity gives a field salesperson enough pipeline for them to make their number each year, because every organization is bumping up the sales targets every year, and they in essence reduce the territories, right? So the number goes up 20 or 30% a year, and the territory gets cut down by a third to a half. So the reality is, even if you've got an inside sales and marketing function that's working really well, it'll never give a seller enough pipeline. So they have to generate their own pipeline as well. But where I see inside sales falling down is that if you need to elevate the conversation, if you're selling high-value solutions to a CXO style of role, you need to be able to carry the conversation with that person, and you need to be able to talk about what you're seeing with clients in terms of risks, outcomes, issues within their particular industry to have relevance. And the thing I find is a more junior person, which is typically on the inside sales team, can't carry the conversations at that level. And if you're wanting to get to example, for example, to the chief financial officer of an organization, you get one shot at having that conversation and securing the meeting. So my view is salespeople can't abdicate responsibility. They need to work with their inside sales team to help those folks get even better at what they do. They need to be grateful for every lead they get from marketing or inside sales and treasure them, but they've also got to be able to go and develop their own pipeline. So that's really the key thing. And they must be able to do it in a way where they avoid being delegated, and they've got to find a way to really break through.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny you say this, because this is so real for me now with clients that I'm working with. And what we've come up with, and it, by necessity, is exactly what you're talking about, where the account executives, the closers, whatever you want to call the folks that are actually going to close the deals, I'm seeing more and more that they're selecting their key accounts. Some people call them the dream 20, dream 300, whatever accounts they're working that are in that center of that bullseye. And those accounts are worked hyper-personally, sometimes with AE and the SDR working together, sometimes AE only. And they're working those 20 accounts, 20 to 30 accounts, something like that, and hitting those accounts because they're high revenue, they have high likelihood of closing, so they're targeted. The next ring out, becomes a little bit looser in terms of how much the SDR can help. But they still, like you said, I heard you say this, that if they're a junior SDR, they're not going to be able to positionally take that lead or take that account into the pipeline towards the mid. They'll have to still be at the top. Maybe they set meetings, or maybe they're doing a light demo, or they're just doing a very light, what we call AWAF call, are we a fit call, with one of the stakeholders, and then that lead gets passed along. Or if you're more seasoned as an SDR, you can actually find all the stakeholders, get them to the discovery call, bring the AE in at that point, and then the lead is handed off. So it's not set in cement like it used to be at all. It has evolved, and it has incorporated the concept of account-based selling. And what's really funny is, even in predictable revenue, we talked about a 3-hour 15 process, which was account-based selling, because the SDR had that lead for 3 hours, 15 minutes. 15-minute AWAF, 1 hour with single stakeholder, 2 hours trying to locate and get to a discovery call multiple stakeholders.
Yeah. And it's a really, really good model. It's a really good model. So, yeah. But the reality is, everybody needs to be prospecting inside an organization, whether it's, you know, your own CFO, CEO, and God forbid, an AE or a field business development person, right? We all need to be prospecting all the time. We all need to be looking for referrals, because obviously referrals and trigger events are the fastest path and the highest probability to a sale. And the reality in life and business is, we see what we're looking for, and it just staggers me how many salespeople and business people don't have their antenna up. You know, they're not tuned to really be looking for referrals and listening for trigger events, which gives them reasons to go and engage with people. So, and that's really part of mindset. So the first thing of mindset is personally own the responsibility of creating pipeline, regardless of how good marketing or your SDRs and inside sales function is, and time block a period of time every single day. Because you know, your book Predictable Prospecting is brilliant in creating that, you know, that framework, but you also need the mindset where you think, you know what, if I want a predictable pipeline, then I've got to be investing time every single day in the right activities that are going to create that for me. If I don't have consistent inputs and activity levels, I'm not going to get consistent results, and that's how you avoid the horrible roller coaster ride that is most people's lives in sales.
Right. And like you said, you know, if you're doing this daily, and I like to talk about, you know, we first start doing prospecting, and let's say we bought into this, Tony, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to hang up this phone, I'm going to listen to this podcast, I'm going to put in my schedule that I'm going to prospect every single day. That is sheer will when you're at that level. But what we need to do is get from that sheer will to this habit. And that's what I'm really trying to get people in the mindset area to think about. Now, I'm coming at from it from a process perspective, but I really want people to drive through sheer will and go all the way to what becomes habit. So when you get up in the morning, you already know your time blocks for the week. You've probably pre-planned your calls and your views of those calls. So, and you've done whatever research is important for you to hyper-personalize that conversation, and away you go. I mean, that to me is really where we're trying to get with all these books that we're writing on process, is to get you to a point where you do this as habit.
Yeah, it's 100% on the money. It's what people need to do. Habits are the things that create success in anybody's life, whether it's staying fit and healthy, or whether it's having a good, healthy pipeline and consistently delivering your number in business.
And it trumps discipline. I hear a lot of our sales colleagues talk about, you need the discipline of sales. Discipline is along that journey towards habit, in my opinion. You know, I can be disciplined. I'm an athlete. I can be disciplined to get out there and do my stuff every day. But it's only when I get up in the morning, the natural thing to do is go work on improving my time as a runner or a biker. It's just habit for me. I just get out there every day because my body craves it. I love it. It makes me feel good. And that's really what prospecting should be. It's fun to prospect. And I think a lot of people dread it, but I think that's also mindset, is putting yourself in a very positive environment. Smile when you're on the phone. You know, there's some phone habits and things that can really warm you up and get you ready for these types of calling. And it's so much fun when you get people who say, thank you so much for calling me. I'm so happy you reached out to me. And it does happen.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I was working with a large law firm, and we were talking about referrals, and you are so right about this issue of habit. It's a case of just simply developing habit every time you finish an engagement with a client to simply say, hey, really enjoyed working on that matter with you. Who else inside the organization should I be talking to? You know, like, mm-hmm. It's simply a case of having your own way of asking the question. It's just a soft way of asking for a referral. And if you're in the habit of doing it, mm-hmm. A percentage of the time, they'll say, hey, actually, you should be talking to Bill over in this area of the business. We've got an issue going on at the moment. So if you're in the habit of asking, then you'll get referrals. But most people are not in the habit, and then they try and execute some, you know, crazy level of activity to generate referrals, and it doesn't work for them because it just needs to be a daily habit is the way to make it work.
Yeah, and you can't wait to the 16th or the 20th of the month if you're closing on the 28th with your pipeline. I mean, you have to be looking at it daily. So I was at a conference just yesterday in San Francisco where we talked about daily metrics. So just keep aligned with your daily goals and your adherence to goal and your alignment to goal on a daily basis to just keep you on track. Because if you wait and get lazy and to the third week in the month, and then maybe the week of the fourth week of the month, it's just so stressful and there's no need to go there.
Yeah. One of my favorite books is a book written by Jason Jordan, Cracking the Sales Management Code. And he really talks about this issue, right? Where, you know, you can't manage results. All you can do is manage the activities that feed into your sales objectives that then create the results. So we need to be really clear about what are the activities that we need to execute well if we want to achieve our objectives that then deliver revenue. So that's really the issue of mindset. And then the second thing that I really see up there is that, you know, when people do go ahead and jump on the phone or they send email, and I love those email templates that you've got in predictable prospecting. But the thing is, they just tend to have the wrong narrative. And for me, there's really a couple of important points to make here. The first is that we all know that people both buy from those that they feel that they know, like, and trust. Mm-hmm. But nobody worth getting to at their own business from a brand new business development point of view. This is not existing relationships. This is new business development. But anyone worth getting to out there is not lonely and bored and looking for new friends, right? So calling people up and adopting a friending strategy, I just think paints you as a salesperson immediately and gets the call off on the wrong footing.
Yes.
And then the other issue is that nobody worth getting to out there is lying awake at night hoping some salesperson is going to call them the next day to tell them about the joys and wonders of their products and solutions, right? So it's leading with a strategy of trying to be someone's friend, calling, saying, oh, how are you today? Or calling and then talking about who you are, what your company does and how it all works. None of that matters until you've first anchored why the person should care about it. So the thing I see with narrative is people have got a narrative that tends to be all about them and what they're selling instead of leading with why the conversation should matter to the other person. Right. And then also really focusing on providing value in the conversation for the person. So give value, provide value well in advance of them ever even considering becoming a customer. So there's some interesting research done by Corporate Visions a few years ago, and what they found was that 75% of the time, the company that wins the deal was the one that first provided education and insight for the person buying. So the one that really starts to educate the person becomes the emotional favorite. So, you know, and that to me comes down to have a focus on providing value well in advance of them ever becoming a customer and create a narrative that leads with why conversation should matter.
You know, that's a great point. And I'm an avid student still of copywriting. And there's a rule for copywriters, for persuasive copywriters, that is a 3-1 rule. So it's help, 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 and then ask is what they really preach. And help is adding value. And one thing that one of the copywriters said to me that's really stuck with me, and I'll share with the audience, is that when you're crafting an email or you're doing something correspondence-wise with a prospect or a stakeholder, before you hit that send button, if you're doing an email, ask yourself, is this email transforming or in some way helping a challenge that my prospect is experiencing, that I know they're experiencing? If you cannot answer yes wholeheartedly with your heart on that one, don't send the email. So that eliminates these just checking in emails or, hey, I've got a great idea. And without giving them any substance, I mean, you're not going to send that email if you honestly can look at that and say, will I transform my guy's day before I hit that send button?
Yeah, I really think that's great advice. It's great advice. And just in line with that, you know, the other part of narrative is we need to understand that if we're elevating our conversations to the real leaders of organizations that make the decisions and approve the spending, mm-hmm. we need to talk the language of leaders and the language of business, which is numbers, dollars, and percentages. So we need to be able to talk about how we think we make a material or can help them make a material impact on their KPIs, their revenue or other important metrics inside their business around net promoter scores or staff engagement, whatever those things are that are important to them, because leaders care about delivering outcomes and then managing the risks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's if you can have that kind of talk track when you're talking with people, it's part of how you avoid delegation, because what you want is engagement and then sponsorship and access to the organization to do a deeper level of discovery and help the client build a business case that'll anchor why they should change state.
Why now? Why us? And I think to your point about mindset again, when you're writing these emails, you are that person. You are their colleague. You are their peer. It doesn't matter that you have a role of sales, that's your title. When you are conversing with someone belly to belly, I like to call it, you are a peer of theirs, a colleague. So you speak to them at that level. You are at that level. And I think that's a big mindset issue that I see a lot, especially since I work top of funnel. A lot of younger people are usually in that role. They're almost afraid to have these conversations, even though they know that they could help and they have at their fingertips the specificity around percent improvement or dollar saved or whatever the numbers are. They can say them, but they don't say them with conviction, and they don't say them with that emotional surety that will get that executive to sort of lean in and say, wow, this guy or this gal really knows what they're talking about. I need to spend 5 minutes with them.
Yeah, that is so true, right? Selling is first and foremost the transference of belief, you know, from one person to another person. So, people make emotional decisions. They rationalize with logic, right? So you know, without being too over the top about it, you've got to be a true believer in the value that you offer. I really think that's so true. So,
and it transcends globally too, right, Tony? Because, I mean, you're in Australia. There's a different culture there than US, but it's still the same throughout globally. I think behavior and the way we are as humans is the same throughout.
It really is. I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely agree. So, and then the third thing, so, you know, there's you've got to have the right mindset. You've got to have the right narrative and talk the language of leaders in business. Lead with why conversation should matter is really important. And then the third thing that I see out there is a lot of people just have got the wrong activity and the wrong levels of activity. One of the things I see out there, which is just a scourge on sales, is the rise of people just being passive. You go into a lot of sales floors today, and you'll struggle to hear anybody even making a phone call. I just find it absolutely amazing. And I actually did a keynote for Salesforce World Tour about 8 weeks ago, and my topic was the rise of the silent sales floor is killing business. And whenever I write in my blog about the need to pick up the phone and make calls, people just go absolutely crazy. And to me, there's this false dichotomy that's raging at the moment of social selling, you know, versus the phone. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's a false dichotomy, because the first ever social selling tool was really the telephone. And it's not a case of social or the phone, it's both, right? So all of our buyers themselves face a white wall of noise. You know, when they come into the office every day, they're bombarded by people trying to gain access, just opening up their email and getting to some level of close to empty inboxes that they just regard as an impossible task. So So the reality is we've got to adopt combinations, which is what my next book is really focused on, this thing of combo prospecting. But, you know, we've got to do pragmatic research, and obviously platforms like LinkedIn are really important for that. But we've got to get their cell number, we've got to call, leave a voicemail, send a text message, send an email, send an inbound. And if we've got the right narrative where we're not being seen as a sales pest, mm-hmm. we've got the right narrative where we're able to provide business value for the person. Mm-hmm. And that's for salespeople. One of the things, if you've got the luxury of being able to do it, is to absolutely focus on a particular vertical. So if you're able to create a narrative around the fact that you work with others in their industry, and there's some interesting trends that you're seeing, a common set of problems, you've seen how a non-competitive, because you don't want them to feel like you're taking trade secrets from someone within their industry to them, because they'll worry that you'll do that to them. But if you're able to say, you've seen how one organization has managed to go from this state to that state as far as tangible results, you know, if these are common issues that you're facing, we'd really love to have a conversation and talk about what I'm seeing within your industry. The thing is that a buyer is absolutely interested in what's going on within their industry, what others in their industry are doing, what trends could be coming over the horizon toward them. Mm-hmm. And if you can be the person that can provide that level of insight, bang, you've absolutely got engagement. And people shouldn't feel like, wow, am I bombarding this person? If you've got the right narrative, you're helping them and you're providing value for them, and they should be grateful that you're doing this. You shouldn't be embarrassed that you're determined to get through. And what you want is you want to go at a range of people in an organization concurrently, and you want to go at them with the right narrative where they think, wow, this person can provide value for me in a conversation, and boy, are they determined. So I think I should return the phone call. Mm-hmm. I know you've interviewed Jeb, and he tells that story where a true story where he had a huge number of outreaches. I think it was every single day he'd left a voicemail for a CEO for about a month and a half, until the guy finally called back, and that person ended up becoming a customer for Jeb, right? Which really validated that the conversation really was of value. And I know when I posted that example, it was a quote from Jeb in social, it had over 1 million reads.
Wow.
And I had one person write into me saying that I think they were being facetious, right? But they said they were going to go and hire 2 linebackers to come and beat me up, you know, for harassing somebody. And I said it was Jeb, not me. But it was really funny, right? But Jeb was really, really persistent, because he knew he could help the person, and he did. The person became a client and invested more than $1 million with his organization, right? So there's the proof that the value was there, but Jeb was determined, and that's what salespeople need to do. So this whole thing of having mindset of time blocking and really make it a habit, but you've got to have the right level of activities. And if you've got the right narrative and the right level of activities, then you'll definitely break through.
Yeah, and I think the I heard the persistence, and I remember Aaron and I, when we were at Predictable Revenue, he used to always tell me, because I did a lot of the outreach then, he says, Mary Lou, you're the only person I know who is so pleasantly patient and persistent to the delightful stage, you know. And I said, that is what it takes. It really does. And I love talking to people I don't know. I love starting conversations with people I don't know. And I think that that's who we are as business development folks. We really like to get those conversations started. And if we're armed with the messaging from your new book about how to touch, when to touch, and in what sort of rhythm to touch in, our conversion rates are going to go through the roof. I have a story I like to tell about a client of mine who decided, you know, I think we're going to send a postcard to our, they call them the Dream 250 accounts. So within the sequence, they had a 10-touch sequence over 32 business days or so. And the third one, they decided to send an email out, or excuse me, a postcard out, and then they halted the sequence and followed up, like in the olden days, what we used to do with the direct mail is send a letter and then follow up with the letter. And it, you know, it was novel enough, it was impactful enough, engaging enough, that they went double digit conversion rates. So just think of how you are now able to shrink that pipeline lag by incorporating some of these strategies that worked in the olden days and still can work now, instead of just, you know, doing your time blocking from 9 to 11 and wondering why things aren't going any better. You know, part of this is to be nimble, to really think about when your prospect is going to be in the office. I can remember sitting in the parking lot in New York, waiting for the New York telephone COO to come to work. It was 6:30 in the morning. I knew he would be there, and I caught him in the parking lot.
Wow.
So we have to adjust. We have to adjust our calling time blocks as well as part of this combo effort. So I'm really looking forward to the new book that's coming out. Can you give us a little flavor of how you've broken that book out? And is it a reference book, like a how-to guide, or is it really just getting us more aware of some of the issues that we really need to take in and figure out where are we along the spectrum of not being able to prospect properly?
Yeah, I jokingly tell people in my writing style, I try to be the Jason Bourne meets Monty Python person of B2B selling, right?
So, okay.
My very first book was written as a novel, so it's very engaging emotionally and tells a story. This next book is quite different. It's really based on the blogging I've done in the last 2.5 years, and that's really where I've ideated and really refined the ideas. Mm-hmm. But it's what I call eclectically snackable. So I struggle to get that out. And the idea is you can flick through it and find the things that will, you know, that address the problem that you may be currently facing. But it really mm-hmm. talks about what we've discussed today. It talks about the dangerous trends in selling. A lot of people predicting doom, but I do believe probably around 20-30% of B2B field salespeople will probably be gone within the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. Organizations are going to continue to spend substantial amounts of money on sales and marketing, but I think the mix is going to change. There's going to be a big focus on how do we create great customer experience, even well in advance of someone becoming a customer.
Right.
And yes, human engagement will definitely be part of that process. But expensive field salespeople as some kind of magic way to go and drive sales is something that's getting tougher and tougher. So the reality is people need to change the way that they sell if they want to have a good future. They need to embrace technology as part of all of this. They really need to up their game, and they need to adopt a combination of old school and new school. And Mary Lou, you said something a couple of minutes ago that everybody listening to this should really, really, really pay attention to. And I love the fact that you talked about just being politely persistent, because the thing is you what I'm hearing is you didn't get all wound up and frustrated. You just accepted the fact that, hey, mm-hmm. people are busy. It's not that they're rejecting me. They're just incredibly busy. And I just need to be persistent. I just need to have the right narrative. I need to find the right approach, you know, and sending a piece of physical mail is a great thing to do because so few people do it anymore.
Right.
And picking up the phone and making a call is a great thing to do today because so many people have stopped doing it. They just mm-hmm. they're sending emails and emails and doing things in social, which is part of how you break through. But at the end of the day, a conversation with your own voice is the way to do it. And we're going to get to a point in the very near future where there'll be more mobile phones per person, you know, out there as well. And people have a phone for business and a phone for their personal life.
Right.
But everyone's got their cell phone, right? So mm-hmm. it's the ideal way to actually get through to them. So the thing the book does is it really talks about the things we've discussed. So old school, new school, blend all these things together, find the right combinations of outreach, find the right combinations in how you actually execute, and personally own the daily cadence of creating sales pipeline. It's the only way that you can really deliver strong, predictable revenue, regardless of how many leads are coming through from inside sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. It'll never be enough. You've really got to do both.
Yeah, and focusing on those whales, those ideal mm. accounts that you would love to have as clients. And you'll find enough to keep you busy, and you'll find enough that you can continually work on a daily basis. But it is a daily habit that we're working towards. And it is persistence. And the data will help you feel good about the number of contacts you need. Because when you're just starting out, everyone thinks, oh, they don't want to hear from me twice a week or three times a week. I'll be in their face. I don't want to do that. But you don't really have anything to substantiate that yet, unless you have really strong data that you can look at and say, look, over the last year with these 2,000 records, this was the cadence that worked. If you don't have that, you're going to be building your own cadence, and you need to test it, iterate it, move it around a bit, and you will come up with your own unique cadence that works for you over and over and over again. But you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, it's so true. And really create the habit, really create the habit. But make sure you're in the habit of doing the right things and doing them well.
Definitely. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. But before we leave, even though you are the most read person on LinkedIn, how do people get a hold of you if they would like to continue this conversation with you?
Yeah, thank you. So they can find me in LinkedIn. So there'll be show notes, I'm sure, where they can see that. I also have two websites. So I have a website for me as a keynote speaker, and it's tonyhughes.com.au. And my sales methodology website is rsvpselling.com.
Okay. And we'll put all that in the show notes for everyone. And we'll be looking forward to the launch of your new book. It's very exciting.
Thanks, Mary Lou. Really appreciate it.
Enjoyed speaking with you.